It's Monday, August 15th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, show number 696. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoDaddy, the world's largest domain register and hosting provider, and by GoToMeeting, now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Geek News Central is sponsored in part also by Carbonite.com. Get a free 15-day trial. Use promo code TPN and 2 months free with purchase. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Yes, he has to leave his hands off the switcher during the playback or it comes back live. Everyone, aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. And I just noticed the wind just picked up and I got the windows open and I can actually smell the night jasmine is blooming tonight. And I've talked about this in previous shows. Oh, my goodness, what an amazing aroma. It's just remarkable. It really is. So just it keeps hitting me in the face along with a nice breeze. So hopefully we don't get too much stuff blowing into the mic tonight. But hey, want to welcome the Ohana. Of course, welcome all of you that are listening from around the world, wherever you may be listening or viewing the show. Thanks for tuning in. And of course, we want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content over there. You want to get subscribed to a number of things. One, get subscribed to the show via the RSS feed or via Zune or via iTunes. We want to make sure you get subscribed to the show and, of course, sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. We contain all the links to all the articles and everything that's been submitted by listeners like you. Of course, you can watch us later on the Roku in Boxy, and I will have to give a little bit of apology to the folks that are on the Roku. We've got a couple of emails from folks saying it's choppy. Something is going on with the way we're encoding the show. It's playing back on all devices, but it really is not cooperating with the Roku. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to step the show down in resolution, keep the quality of the encode up, and we'll see what happens with tonight's show. But this is specifically, I noticed on the Roku 2, there was definitely a huge disalignment of video and audio. I mean, it wasn't even close, but you play it back on the web, you play it back on a device, it's all married up the way it's supposed to be, but something is not liking the encode that we're doing for the Roku. So we're going to get to the bottom of that and get it figured out. I think the long-term plan will probably be to provide a separate encode that we do specifically for the Roku through a secondary method, but we'll deal with that later. But thanks for the heads up on that, because you know, when things are going on autopilot here, we don't pay attention to it. It's always the video that just gets me. It's, you know, that's the thing. It sucks is the video is the hardest part of this thing to do. You know, the audio is just, you hit record and it just goes. You know, if you look over here in the corner, if you can see, if you're watching, you can see that the audio recorder is just going and it just does its thing. And I get done the end and I hit stop and generally there's not a problem. But definitely doing stuff live with the video, it's prone to issues. So it is what it is. We're just going to have fun and deal with it. And you know, I'm not going to stress it too much. But it does create issues when you can't sit back in your lazy boy and just watch on the Roku like you have been. So anyway, watch us if you can on either the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or the Boxy device. And of course, we're streaming live tonight at live.tech, live.techpodcast.com, live.geeknewscentral.com. We're having issues with the chat system, though. My IRC provider is down, so we're not getting any loads on the chat system. So hopefully that gets resolved here. But I did notice something in their forums today, or just before we started the show, that said that the chat was down. So if you're up on the system and trying to get into chat, it's definitely an issue right now. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com. Lots of places you can follow us. And of course, call the hotline if you've got comments on today's show at 619-342-7365. We're up on Facebook as well. We've got a Facebook homepage, facebook.com/geeknews. We've got lots to cover tonight on the show and lots to really go over. And some cool stuff to share with you about an incident that, well, not really an incident, but something that happened on our Saturday morning tech show. And I think you're going to get a kick out of it. I'm getting huge emails from people that are watching this Saturday morning tech that we did. And let me get into that here in a second. And let me take care of a little business first and pay for the light bill around here. But one thing I want you guys to do is really pay attention to a new offering that we've got with GoDaddy. GoDaddy's giving us the ability to get a huge discount for you on their reseller program. So if you've been thinking about starting a business, what I have to offer here is unlike anything that they've made available before. Now, while I do not personally have a reseller account because it's a little bit of a conflict of interest here, I know a lot of people that do and have built up long-term substantial income. I know that Podcast Pickle, when he was running his GoDaddy, or I think he still is, obviously, his GoDaddy reseller account, even a couple of years ago, I know he was getting a decent amount of income off that. I know a couple of people as well that have current accounts that are doing well too. And basically, you sell once, and then basically you get the residual for the life of the account. So if you would like to save 30% on a GoDaddy reseller account, all you have to do is pick my promo code when you check out. The promo code is Geek30. And all you got to do is go over to GoDaddy.com, look for the reseller link that's up at the very top of the webpage, and then, or just click on the link that's going to be in the show notes, and you're going to see this special limited time offer for 30% on a new plan. And there's some details there on how that works, talks about it, and you can sign up for a basic pro or super reseller. And be sure to review the differences in the programs between the basic reseller and super reseller. But this really can be set up in about 5 minutes. You can get up and running. You don't have to know HTML. They make all the templates. You just set things up. You can point your right domain at it, store.yourdomain.com or whatever you may want it to be. And it's really simple to get going, and it's a great way to generate some revenue for yourself. But if you're going to just pick up regular codes or pick up domain names or a hosting account and you want to save some money, my promo codes are all at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find a full assortment there of codes. Now, what you can do to help out the show, if you're a blogger or you're a tweeter, hey, tweet my promo codes. Tweet them out. Link to that page, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. First of all, it helps us on Google. Number two, it helps me keep the lights on. And three, it's just, I love you if you do, because you guys are fans of the show. So anyway, thanks for that. All right, let's go ahead and talk about a few topics here. First things first is the Saturday morning tech show. It started out with Andy McCaskey was not able to join us. And we had, of course, summertime, everyone is busy. So it's hard to get people locked into, you know, coming on the show early Saturday morning. Either fellas are doing honey-do list stuff or, you know, it's a busy time of the year. People are on vacation and so forth. So I didn't know quite what to expect. Rob Greenlee had agreed to join me in the Google Plus Hangout, and we're just going to see what was going on there. Well, the first thing that happened in the morning was this Logitech C615 webcam that I've had no issues with on doing any type of calls with, which I've actually been super impressed with this webcam, decided it was going to have a hissy fit, and I couldn't for the life of me get the white the balances right or anything working good, and it was horrible. So I messed with that for 5 minutes or so, and I said, well, forget it, and I said, Rob, let's just go with it, and I was going to switch between the screen and the camera, and it worked out for the show. But we got going, and about 5 minutes in. As a matter of fact, I'd done the intro, talked to Rob for a few seconds, was getting ready to introduce my first article. And Inbounce, now we had an open hangout. It was available for anyone to join. We knew that was a, you know, possible that we'd get any listeners in or other Google Plus followers. And lo and behold, this guy by the name of Mosey, where that's his nickname, jumped in on the program. And I was going to just go ahead and continue to talk about what we had lined up. But this individual jumped in, and Mosey is a celebrity on YouTube. He does the Fail Toys video special series, and he's gotten a huge amount of traffic, and I guess he makes a huge amount of money being a producer or partner or whatever it is at YouTube. And so Mosey spends 5 or 10 minutes telling us about him and his shows. And so we get into the discussion about podcasting and YouTubers and why YouTubers aren't doing podcasting and why some podcasters have had challenge getting uptake. No one watches, very few people watch my show on YouTube. It's mostly, largely through RSS download, through iTunes, all the regular distribution points we have. And a few people watch on YouTube. And sometimes I'm behind a few days and putting stuff up there, up on there. So that's probably part of it. Plus, it's an hour, 10 to hour, 20 minutes, right? Who wants to watch a YouTube video for that long? Well, we get into a very deep, interesting discussion. And to this day, I'm still a little bit baffled by the... Basically, here's what it boiled down to. Mosey said, I don't need anything but YouTube. I don't need to be anywhere else. YouTube's where I need to be. That's it. And so he looked at my page. And of course, I can't put special graphics on the page. I can't do nothing but basic color schemes. Even though I'm a producer account, there's not a lot of stuff I can do. So I said, go ahead and apply. So I applied to be a pro account or whatever it may be. We'll see how Google reacts because, you know, I've got advertising in the show. And that's generally frowned upon by YouTube. So we'll see where this takes us. And he's bragging about being on live and millions of views. And I'll let you guys take a check out of the Saturday Morning Tech Show. And it was a good, lively debate. And I think we both came away with our own opinions, positive or negative. Great guy, lots of energy. I mean, if we had 100 podcasters with the same level of energy and the same level of dedication, you know, if I could have 100 of Moseys, just retire. So, you know, I got to hand it to him. He's done very well. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes tonight on Mosey's YouTube Fail Toys video series. You may have seen him already, but some good insight there if you're looking to get more up to speed on YouTube. So anyway, I've talked enough about Mosey's stuff, but let me get through the rest of my list here of things we got to cover before we get into the full portion of the tech show. Server move is happening. All the sites have been moved, minus two. So Geek News Central probably is going to make the full server move on Thursday. So I'd expect, I don't think we're going to have any downtime, but for a while you guys are going to be on the old server, and for a while you're going to switch to the new. They should be pretty transparent for you. We're ready to punch. We're ready to make the move and get off the old box and actually shut that one down. So look for that on Thursday. I think that's what's going to happen. I go in for a second sleep study Wednesday night. I get home Thursday morning, and I'm going to go ahead and if I'm up to it, I'm going to make the transition Thursday morning, and then we'll be ready for, of course, Thursday night's show. If you want to donate something for Show 700, let me know. We've got some donations that are already coming in, and I'm really excited about some of the cool stuff we're going to be able to give away for Show 700. So if you want to give something away, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico next week. So I'll have a user meetup. If you want to meet up for lunch or dinner in Albuquerque, email me right away, okay? geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me the best nights that are available for you. We're not going to do Monday or Thursday night, obviously, because of that being a show night. But just let me know what your schedule is. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know what the best night for you to meet up, and I'll choose a night that's as collectively good for everyone. Plank Owner Program. We've got planks inbound from the company as samples. So we'll be looking at those and hopefully getting that dialed in by the end of the week. Maybe we can launch the Plank Owner Program next week. Chrome Show, we had to do it without a laptop. Chrome Show, I can't charge the Chromebook. Something's happened with the charger. But I think the show turned out good. You'll enjoy it. That episode number 5, and of course, Robot Underpants came up this morning. Okay, lots to cover here. Let me go ahead and take care of just one more little piece of business, and then we'll move into the full content of the show. So what I want to talk about is Carbonite. And Carbonite has, let me make sure that Carbonite is not backing up right now. Let me look at this. Let me go ahead and bring up the, it actually is running right now. So let me disable it because we're using bandwidth. Let's see, what are we doing? Oh yeah, it's got a few minutes left. But Carbonite is a pretty awesome program. It just runs in the background. And let me actually show you the little window that comes up with it. Let me actually bring, I don't know if you can actually see this or not, but it's just a little inobtrusive window. It says Info Center, talks about backup, tells the percentage it's at, you can receptions. You know, at some point in the future, you are going to have a hard drive crash. 15,123 hard drives is going to crash tomorrow. And believe me, you do not want one of those to be yours. So what I want you to do is get a free 15-day trial. So I want you to go over to carbonite.com. And you're going to find on the webpage a place to put your email address, a password. You're going to confirm that password and a place to put in that promo code TPN. TPN will be the promo code. And when you purchase the product, you're going to get two free months. So basically, you're going to get 14 months for the price of 12 and about $5 a month. And it's a great deal. It works fantastic. I mean, it's just transparent. It tells me which files have been backed up. I can see it in Explorer. So anyway, give it a run for the money. Carbonite.com. Use the promo code TPN. Get those two free months trials. And of course, just click on the link on Geek News Central. That'll get you there straight away. All right, let me go ahead here and load the tech content. I got just a stack of stuff. And I'm going to load one other document while we're in transition here. I hope everyone's had a great summer. If you've been on vacation, I hope you've gotten your batteries recharged. And but I tell you, we want you to definitely stay connected with the show here through the summer months. I know it's real easy to be able to just take a break. And sometimes we all need to do that. But don't take a break from the show. We've got lots of great content for you. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts now in the car. If you've got a hands-free device, most iPhones and Android phones, you just connect via Bluetooth and you can listen that way. So that way you don't have to obviously wear an earphone or anything. So definitely make sure you're staying dialed in with the show. And you know that we produce it every Tuesday and Friday for Tuesday and Monday and Thursday for your listening pleasure. And it comes out, of course, Tuesday and Friday morning. All right. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to move forward here. Well, the big news of the day obviously was the move by Google to pick up Motorola and the Motorola mobility portion of the company. And this is a $12.5 billion acquisition. It doubles the size of the workforce at Google. They're going to go, I think it's actually a 60% increase in workforce. But this is big. This is a big deal. And there's a lot of variables here that we can look at. But primarily, Google was obviously shooting for that 24,000 patents that the folks at Motorola had. And, you know, you think about it, Motorola is like an icon here in the United States. The Razr, you know, that was an awesome phone. And, you know, they've kind of been lackluster here in recent years because of all the, you know, excitement with the iPhone and the Droid. But with this purchase, Google's going to have access to all those patents. They're going to have a new manufacturing arm. And I tell you, it really, you know, while it could be upsetting to some of their partners because their partners say, hey, you're going to be competing with us on a handset side, you know, HTC and Samsung have to obviously be worried here. But everyone thinks this is going to be a win-win, not only for the mobile space, but also for Google TV. They feel that some of the mobile hardware capabilities and patent coverages will also be a big boost. But Google TV is going to have to make some shifts to shift its position from an operating system that's sold to consumers to one that will be used by a number of pay TV operators. Now, you think about it, Motorola has, what do you guys have for your cable box? You know, our cable box used to be a Scientific American cable box, and it was a DVR as well. But I bet a lot of you have a Motorola cable box in your homes. And if you do, Motorola owns that part of that division. So what can they do? Boom, embed Google TV right into that device. Very smart move. Now, whether or not Time Warner and everyone else will want to have that capability in the set-top boxes, I don't know. But at least it makes some sense. Now, the question we have to ask is Motorola going to go, I mean, is Google going to go out and kind of pick off a couple more of these companies that have, that build set, basically your DVR, your television box? Time will tell on that. But obviously, we think the main reason, and everyone's obviously speculating that this was a play mostly for Motorola's patents. And you can't blame them because of the, you know, what's been going on with Apple and Microsoft making really, you know, being very, very aggressive and picking up patents. And with the number of patent lawsuits that are in play right now, it'll be interesting to see how this thing rolls out. Now, the question that I think we all need to ask, is this going to, you know, be subject to the same type of scrutiny like the AT&T acquisition of T-Mobile? Is Google going to have a hard time, basically closing this deal? Is there going to be antitrust stuff that's going to be looked at? I'm sure the full mantra will be there. Now, a lot of people thinking that there's going to be other vendors supporting this deal just because they want the protection for Android. And here's what the CEO of HTC said. He said, "We welcome the news of today's acquisition, which demonstrates that Google is deeply committed to defending Android, its partners, and the entire ecosystem." Here's what Sony had to say. "I welcome Google's commitment to defending Android and its partners." Here's what the folks at LG said. "We welcome Google's commitment to defending Android and its partners." Again, some of the same almost exact language, per se. Now, is this going to be enough? I don't know. Now, what I got going on here is it was nice breeze was coming in when we started the show. It's completely died, and the temperature's rising here in the studio. I got my ceiling fan up on high, and we can hear it, so I bring it down. But when I bring it down, it's just not quite enough air moving in here. Oh, gosh. I can never find a happy medium. When we build a new studio, we'll have the thing AC'd, all right? With your help when we launch our plank program. So anyway, what do you guys think about the Google acquisition? All right, what do you think of the Motorola acquisition? See if I can talk here tonight. But email me your comments at geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Or of course, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And I got a cool call tonight. You know, you guys remember Brian from Brooklyn, who's called into the show a number of times? We got a nice audio piece from him to play at the end. And I think you guys are going to want to stick around and listen to it because he has an interesting conversation with a Time Warner Cable customer service rep after the Time Warner Cable service rep missed the house call that he had set up. So I think you guys will enjoy it. And Brian is in raw form, or, you know, his regular form for this this piece. Have you guys ever decided you're going to have a water fight with a bunch of people? In other words, a squirt gun fight or water balloons? Well, maybe at a party. Matter of fact, we were at a birthday party last night, and the birthday boy got himself pummeled with water balloons by his daughters, and and friends, and I think all of us got a little bit wet. But in the UK, Essex charged a man over a water fight planned, which he was trying to organize through BlackBerry Messenger. So a 20-year-old is due in court after police discovered alleged plans for a Colchester water fight circulating on Facebook and on BlackBerry Messenger. He will have to appear before the magistrate next month for allegedly trying to organize a mass water fight. The prime minister said last week that the government would investigate whether social networking platforms would be shut down if they helped to plot crime in the wake of the riots. So the individual has been charged with encouraging or assisting in the commission of an offense under the 2007 Serious Crime Act. A water fight. A serious crime. A water fight. Water balloons, squirt guns. Serious crime. Wow. He's probably going to get 25 years. Oh my gosh. In 2008, there was a spat of mass water fights in British towns and cities that were organized through social networks. Most remained peaceful. This month, the water fight attended by thousands of young Iranians attracted the attention of Tehran morality police and led to a series of arrests. How did, Tehran, and I guess they had a water fight in Iran. And they also had water fights in British towns. Oh, arrested people for having a water fight. Woo. Serious business there. Hey, those of you in the UK, love to hear your comments on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, the Windows 8 team has launched a building Windows 8 blog. And they're promising all kinds of juicy stuff. And they're starting their dialogue on what's going to be introduced on Windows 8. And they say, we know that blogging about Windows 8 will bring out the passionate opinions of many people, including members of our team. As a team, we're all going to participate. Many of us will author posts, and all of us will read and take notes of your comments on this blog. So this is out. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on that. So it's exciting. Windows 8 probably coming sometime either late this year, early next. But on a more sad note, on a more serious note, AT&T has gone after customers who have basically filed a class action lawsuit against the T-Mobile merger. So the folks at good old AT&T did not like it that they were basically people were standing up and saying, no, we don't want this acquisition to go forward. And the law firm, Burser and Fisher, filed a lawsuit on behalf of AT&T customers who are against the proposed acquisition. And essentially, AT&T has basically come back and said, hey, we are going to fight this. And they've filed their own reports and information back and filed different types of, basically stuff to the court. So they are... said AT&T's filing of these lawsuits appear to be an act of desperation. No, excuse me. It's the article is saying that AT&T's filings of these lawsuits appear to be an act of desperation since AT&T now realizes it faces a substantial likelihood that one or more of the arbitration cases will indeed stop the takeover from happening. But AT&T's legal argument are frivolous. We expect the courts will reject AT&T's argument and dismiss these cases very quickly. AT&T's desperate lawsuits will not interfere with ongoing arbitration proceedings. So in other words, AT&T is trying to battle back. And basically what's going on is if you win a case through arbitration, according to AT&T's terms of service, you could be compensated for as much as $10,000. Now, normally with any class action lawsuit, this will never happen. You end up with $3.52 is what you end up with. But, the firm had, whether or not it was right or not, dangled a $10,000 reward for each customer if it wins an arbitration based on this arbitration agreement that is in your terms of service with AT&T. So we'll see what happens there. I have a link up in the show notes on this. This was an article over on PC Magazine, PCMag.com. Well, you know, Nielsen You know, let's talk about Nielsen and the Nielsen ratings. I remember getting a little, matter of fact, twice, getting a little packet. Basically, I got a piece of mail from Nielsen saying, will you be willing to participate as one of our basically reviewers or willing to tell us what you listen to on the radio? So I thought, this might be interesting. And I had talked about this in a couple of years back, and they had sent me a crispy $1 bill in that mailing. And I replied back and said, yeah, I'll participate. And then I got a little booklet with another dollar in it that basically had me write down everything that I listened to on the radio for like 2 weeks or something like that. So what I did is every day that I listened to podcasts, I wrote which podcast I listened to in that little book. And when I sent it back, I'm sure they were quite confused trying to figure out which radio station were carrying podcasts. Long story short, they sent me another dollar saying, thank you for your participation and blah, blah, blah. So I got paid $3 to do a Nielsen review of where I basically submitted podcasts that I were listening to. Now, what's going to happen now, when you visit Facebook and you see an ad on Facebook, they're going to be measuring how you're reacting to those ads on Facebook. To date, I have never clicked on a single ad on Facebook, so I don't know if any of you have, but if you do, that tracking data is going to go back to Nielsen. They're going to say, oh, this was very effective. Because Facebook has partnered with Nielsen and they're going to send them all kinds of analytics, basically, you're going to get profiled. Now, they're not going to send back your name, but if you are a female, 20 to 25 years old, they're going to tell Nielsen that a female 20 to 25 years old in whatever state you live, in whatever county you live, clicked on a certain ad or had this type of an ad served to them, and this was your reaction, you clicked on it or you didn't. So they're calling it Nielsen OCR. And all ads will have a Nielsen tag attached to them. If a user encounters an ad while logged into Facebook, either on Facebook website or while surfing the web within the same browser, in other words, they're going to set a cookie on your machine, Facebook will recognize the encoded tag, and then Facebook anonymizes the ad viewership data it collects. In other words, it's not going to tell you exactly who you are. It's going to bracket you into a category. But this is huge. You know, they're trying to figure out what's working in the ad world. What's being clicked? What isn't? What's being served that people are reacting to? And I just don't think it's going to be that effective. I really don't. We'll see. But Nielsen realizes there's a shift, and there's a shift going on, and they have to be part of that shift. If they're not, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. So just be advised, and this is an article that was over on GigaOhm, that when you get over to Facebook next time, and you are served an ad, you're participating in a Nielsen survey. Now, the only difference is you're not going to get paid those $1, $2, or $3 that I was paid to fill out my information that I provided to them on very accurately on what I listened to on the radio. I listened to it on the radio. It was through one of those little receivers, but it was podcast like yours. Oh, gosh. Hey, let's talk about Hack College. HackCollege.com is kind of a cool blog. And if you're a student, you should probably read this blog. But moms and dads, you got kids going to school, getting ready to buy some books. I'm sure if you've got a freshman in college, you've begun to realize how criminal it is on buying books. Well, Amazon has launched what's called Amazon Student. It's an iPhone app for textbooks and more. And basically, what this allows you to do, and this is separate from Amazon.com, and it's focusing specifically on Amazon's student educational benefits, like trading in and buying textbooks and creating wish lists to send family and friends. Oh, yeah, that wish list includes, please, Dad, can you buy me that $385 biology book that I'm going to use for one quarter, and then I'm going to have to resell it, and I'll get $120 back of that original $387 price, even though I didn't write a single thing in the book? Oh yeah, we're going to learn about that. And then they take it, that book, and they resell it for $275. So this upcoming semester, Amazon become basically they're making this available, and you're going to have access to use textbook retailers and so forth. So free day two shade free 2-day shipping on most purchases, and or very cheap overnight shipping. And so this is kind of cool. We'll see where this goes, but it is going to cost you. It looks like, do they charge a yearly fee for this? You may have to pay a yearly fee, but believe me, if they can save you a bunch of money, it's worth, I think, the $39 you may be having to pay to have access to this. But I may be wrong on that. I'm just reading real quick here in the bottom of this Hack College article that talks about it. Anyway, it'll be up in the show notes. You can check it out. And parents, get ready to reach really deep into your pockets for those books. Now, you're going to love this one. The MPAA, they're about movies, right? And they lobby to make sure you and I don't peer-to-peer share their movies, or if we don't, don't do things illegal, when they don't want us doing copyright infringement and all these myriads of things that they lobby for. They lobby Congress to put more restrictive stuff in on moving of data and everything else. But did you know that the MPAA is also lobbying for Wall Street reform? Okay. The RIAA has spent over $5 million in the first half of 2011 lobbying Congress. The MPAA have cost over $1.2 million this year. There's nothing out of the unusual there on their normal lobbying, what they're doing. But they've hired Michael Towery Associates, and they spent tens of thousands of dollars to advance the implementation of the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. Now, this is kind of unusual. Why would, the face of that bill sounds something that maybe we'd all be interested in looking at and getting behind potentially. And of course, we don't talk about finance on this show, so, we don't cover that. I would suggest a couple of great investment shows over at Blueberry. The reason that they're doing this is to satisfy and to help their CEO, who used to be a senator. CEO Chris Dodd, does that name ring a bell? Well, Chris Dodd in 2009 proposed the act before he not reelected. But he is now the CEO of MPAA. So they are moving some money into helping the once senator to get his bill the rest of the way through. So this is kind of interesting. Well, I'd say go ahead and let them spend their money on that. That's less stuff that they're going to be able to get accomplished on, trying to take your guys' rights away and be able to get access to media. That's for sure. Well, the Black Hat Conference was over last week, but one thing that came out of it was a recognition that Microsoft has done one heck of a job in improving the security of its operating systems. So this should make all of you sit back and go, but one of the leading internet security firms, Kaspersky, is that how you pronounce that? Kaspersky, Kaspersky. I know I just destroyed that. Someone's laughing. Has rolled some big news. Microsoft is no longer has any software on their top 10 vulnerability list. Now, it doesn't say how far down they've got anything else, but it says, in fact, not only is it a bit of a redemption for Microsoft, but a black eye for two other companies. Adobe and Oracle are in sole possession of the entire top 10 list, specifically Adobe Flash Player, not surprisingly, racked up 7 of the top 10 vulnerabilities. Now, here's something that was talked about. You guys are now the wind's blowing in the office again, so you guys maybe hear a little puffing on the microphone as we're getting wind across the condenser here. But the folks at Adobe, in response to basically some serious backlash by Google, have basically cleaned up a whole bunch of Flash security issues. I think there was like 80 or something that they cleaned up. But it definitely has some issues there. And if you've been seeing the regular Flash updates, that's why. because Adobe's trying to plug all the holes they've created in some of their recent updates. Oh, you hear that? So you're getting a little gust of wind in here. So I may have to reach over here and shut that window if it keeps up. Hey, over on AndroidCentral.com, this, you guys are going to love this. Let me bring this up, and I'll blow it up in the screen so those of you that are watching can see this. Really good. And it's being suggested that Apple may have tampered with evidence in the case of German Apple versus Samsung. So let me show you. Is it going to let me? Come on, baby. Let me make you get bigger. Oh, it's not doing it. Oh, yeah, there it goes. So here's what they've done. In court submissions, they made the Samsung device, specifically the, the iPad versus, what is the name of the actual Samsung device? They don't even list it. But anyway, it's a Samsung tablet, and the Samsung tablet has a 16:9 motif, and what they've done is in the stuff that they submitted to the court, they expanded the Samsung tablet to look to be exactly the same size as the iPad, where in reality, the actual size was about 20% smaller. So they actually increased the dimensions that they submitted to the court. They blew it up to make it look like the same exact size. And essentially what that has done here is that is tainted. The court looks at this. Oh, yeah, that thing looks exactly like the iPad, and was could have influenced the court on their decision on the injunction. So, and if that wasn't enough, the Samsung logo was removed from Apple's image. And of course, it's shown with the app drawer open instead of the normal home screen view. So they really played it up to their advantage. I can't imagine that the German courts will let this slide. And time will tell on what happens here. But it makes you go, when you guys see the image, if you load the website up, and this was over at AndroidCentral.com, I think you're going to all agree that Apple is up to no good there. So we'll keep you advised on that. Hey, we're on TechDirt.com. They're reporting that Fox News basically told the AP not to use clips from the recent GOP debate. AP apparently unfamiliar with fair use. And actually, for the very first time, AP is being criticized for not actually using pieces of the content and basically, sustaining the fair use rights. So Fox had basically told the AP that they were not allowed to select excerpts of the debate for use in online video. And AP went even so far as to saying, Fox wouldn't let us use their, AP has been pretty good in all the other, you look at CNN, you look at Fox, they all use little itty bitty clips from other networks and they always give attribution to it. I would say this is they'll put on there was from Fox News, and if it was on CNN, vice versa, or MSNBC, they all play each other's clips and do commentary on them. So why would the AP decide all of a sudden we're not going to use someone else's clip? It might be that the AP is getting ready to say, hey, we don't use other people's clips when they tell us we can't. So we're telling you, you can't use our clips on your website. That might be the defense. But I think anyone that's writing any kind of content or doing anything online should be very aware that you need to continue to exercise fair use rights. And if not, it's one of those things. You don't use it, you lose it. So we'll have to see where this goes. Also, as a warning to parents, if your kids are going to school and they're going to use school email systems, the courts have said colleges can snoop on students' emails, so be aware. And if you're a student going to college, don't be putting stupid stuff on your college account, especially if you're like sharing homework information or whatever you may be doing. Use your own email account. Don't use the college one, all right? Now, remember that bogus article? We talked about it here on the show where they said Internet Explorer users were, by using IE, were more stupid. And I think at the time I had actually raised some doubts whether or not that was correct or not. We kind of laughed about it here. And, of course, it's been completely debunked in the past couple of weeks that was a totally bogus article. So there's a new article. It's on TechDirt that said, could internet and television be making everyone smarter? Well, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of stuff on TV that, if you're watching the right stuff, definitely can make you smarter. Like that house, how the stuff is made. There's a lot of stuff on Discovery that's good, stuff on TLC. There's a lot of good content out there, but there's a lot of junk too. But they're saying as a population, the IQs of younger kids continue to creep upwards. And some thought this was because of the efforts to bring up the bottom half. And boy, believe me, in Hawaii, we're not bringing up the bottom half. They're staying right where they were. We're nowhere going to make the 2014 deadline of, you know, basically no child left behind type of stuff, because they're getting all left behind here. But anyway, what they're finding is that the entire bell curve is moving up ever so slightly in IQ. So the question is what stimulation or what is causing this IQ to be increased? Now, I really limit the stuff that my kids can go to and stuff that we watch on. Of course, we're disconnected here from the internet. I'm not disconnected from the internet. We're disconnected from cable TV. So we're watching a lot of stuff online. And, but the fact is that kids are scoring better on IQ tests. Maybe it's just an evolution. We're getting smarter. I don't know. I guess we all need to be a little smarter. Some of the kids I see running on my kids' school, I have my doubts, but so anyway, kind of interesting on the science front that our kids are getting smarter. Police are trying to bring wiretap charges against a woman who filmed them beating a man. Wow. We've talked about in the past how police and some courts have been abusing wiretapping laws to go after people who film police in the public. But now there is a another police department that is trying to file a criminal complaint against this woman who filed or basically filmed a police officer who was basically disciplined for an incident in November 2009 in which the police were caught on video beating a guy named Melvin Jones. The video was made by a woman named Trisha Green, and Jones had bones all over his face that were broken and became partially blind in one eye. And yet they're trying to charge this woman with wiretapping charges because she filmed. You know, what is up with that? We'll have to see where this goes. I'll keep you advised, but what an absolute abuse. Hey, you want to watch Fox on Hulu? Now, you only can watch Fox on Hulu if you're a Dish customer. That's right. They've locked us all out. You have to prove that you are getting Fox on Dish in order to watch any Fox content on Hulu. Doesn't matter if you're on Time Warner or Comcast or anybody else like that. They've only integrated with Dish. So no longer watch any Fox content on Hulu, because they basically said, you got to pay. You have to pay the cable companies. You have to be able to prove that you're a cable subscriber to get access online. Well, read between the lines, Fox. I'm not doing it. Hey, Firefox users, guess what? No more version numbers. They're acting the same way Chrome is, that they're going to switch to a Chrome-like release schedule for its browser, and there's going to be no more, basically, version numbers. It's just going to be a build. So we'd have to worry about talking about Firefox 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. It's going to be Firefox build 1.89672754, and you're just going to get an update, continuous update of the browser. Kind of cool. I'm sure it's going to cause problems down the road, but we'll see. Another outage on Amazon S2 makes me a little nervous, because we have moved a lot of our infrastructure that needed some extra lifting power onto Amazon EC2. Specifically, most of our generator sites, most of our client sites are now running on the cloud, and we can scale as we need. And even some of our stats stuff now is on the cloud. Now, we've got a bunch of reserve stuff sitting back on GoDaddy servers and fallover, where if Amazon goes down, other servers will pick up. But it's kind of expensive to maintain, you know, all that extra infrastructure. So we've been real careful in trying to find a happy balance there. You know, what can we afford to have go down for 10 minutes? What can we not afford to go down for 30 seconds? And vice, you know, all this stuff in our planning. But it makes me, you know, this is like the second outage this year. This one happened in a data center in Dublin, and it was caused by a lightning strike. But, you know, every time something like this happens, I go back to our tech team. I say, what happens if our data center goes down? How do we recover? And we actually spent a significant amount of time building some procedures that really all has to happen is the phone has to ring and one of us get a call and say, server's down, data center's out, we'll be able to log into Amazon EC2. Basically, within a few minutes, come back up on another box. There's no way to automatically do it, but we can shift the instance to somewhere else if need be so. And same thing with our DNS. It's all pretty flexible to be able to update real quick. So really, the only thing we've said that we can never be down with is our media redirect, which runs our stats service, because even down for a minute, you know, that could end up being 1,000 downloads that would have failed. So that's something we've invested heavily in to make sure our stats system never goes down. You know, knock on wood here. My God, I shouldn't even talk about this as, you know, what will happen. But you can only do so much. And especially when you're trying to keep the cost under control. But what are you guys doing? You guys, any of you run any critical services? Have you got backup stuff? Are you running on EC2 and have backup servers anywhere else? Or do you just not even worry about it? And if the site's down, the site's down. Love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Hey, over on the Wall Street Journal, there's a good article by Walt Mossberg talking about a simple PC for seniors. And, you know, do our senior citizens, you know, my mom is, I guess mom can be considered as a senior citizen. She's not a senior citizen, believe me. She doesn't act like one. But she can qualify for the discounts. And I won't say how old she is on the show. You know, I'd get a phone call. But my mom is pretty savvy still on a PC for her age. She's able to do what she needs to do. And go on eBay and buy stuff and, you know, get her email and surf the web and, you know, go to, you know, the variety of sites that she goes to. She knows how to get stuff up on Netflix ordered and so forth. So really, is there a need at this point to have a simple PC for seniors that just has, you know, like little click menus and it dumbs it down so far that it's to the point of ridiculousness? Is that a word? Anyway, if you think you have a parent that's in need of one of these, Walt Mossberg gives a little warning. It's a little flaky right now, but for $699, a base unit with an 18.6-inch screen and a 320-gig hard drive is available for you at $999. There's one that's a 20-inch screen. It's all self-contained unit, and a lot of it's touch. Not too much of it is, some of it is mouse-driven, but it's got all the basic stuff built in, Skype, it's got photos and different things, and it's made by a company called Telekin, T-E-L-I-K-I-N. So if you're interested in that and have an adult in the family that needs one of these, might be an option for you. Some folks that were spying on kids. The parent company of Broken Thumb Apps, a prominent iOS maker responsible for games like Zombie Duck Hunt, Truth or Dare, Emily Dresses Up, has paid a fine to the FTC for $50,000 for collecting data on kids. And the company was apparently collected and maintained a list of more than 30,000 emails as well as personal information for more than 300 of Emily Girls World app users, 290 Emily's Dress Up users. So this is kind of it's kind of ugly, but just, you know, the kids obviously weren't going to be able to buy anything unless they got the parents' password. But just because they did it and they broke the FTC's COPPA rule, which requires parents to give consent before the company collects or uses personal information on children, they broke that rule and they hit them with a $50,000 fine. So I think that's I think that was a decent amount of money from them to pay for spying on kids using their apps. The Pew survey is saying, and this is over an article over on TechCrunch, that half of the U.S. mobile consumers use cell phones for real-time info retrieval. I hope they didn't have to pay for this study. But let's be honest, we all, you know, you're driving around town or you're doing something, you're trying to, I'm using my phone all the time, getting an address, getting, finding the best deal on something, calling someone to see if they're still open. You know, I want real-time info. I wouldn't have a cell phone with a data plan where I wasn't getting retail, you know, real-time data. But smartphone users versus other cell phone users, there's a breakdown here, a chart on this. I'm not going to go through all these numbers here. But here's an interesting statistic. Send and receive text messages. 92% of smartphone users do, where 59% that use a non-smartphone do texting and send and receive text. Now, if you look down here a little deeper about playing a game, obviously smartphones off the chart, and overall cell phone, other cell phone users are very small numbers. But anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes and you can check out the full details on this. But obviously, you're using it for entertainment and real-time data. Why would you not? Why would you have a smartphone otherwise? Again, that was an article over at TechCrunch.com. Hey, if you've used Microsoft's Reader, that's going away. They're going to be dropping it. Microsoft quietly said it would end its Reader app within a year. Stores carrying the LIT format will pull the format on November 8th of this year. While the app would no longer be available to download after August 30, 2012, the app and any downloaded books will continue to work after the cutoff point. So if you've bought any books in the LIT format, don't you lose your copy of Microsoft Reader, okay? So let's talk about this thing that happened in San Francisco. I'm sure you've all heard about it already. It happened last Friday. But essentially what happened was the FCC is currently investigating actions last week by the Transportation Authority in San Francisco, which interrupted wireless service in a commuter station in an effort to foil protesters who had planned demonstrations. The FCC spokesperson Neil Gray said in a statement on Monday that the agency is continuing to collect information about the actions of the Bay Area Rapid Transit, BART, and will be taking steps to hear from the stakeholders about the important issues those actions raised. So, wow. Now, Anonymous came out over the weekend and basically said, naughty on you, BART, for doing this. They hacked their website. They released a whole bunch of personal information and email accounts of users of the BART system, and then organized a rally today that happened. And looking at the San Francisco Weekly blog, basically the protest lasted about an hour and a half. Police were there in force. There wasn't a huge number. There was only one train that was held up briefly at the Civic Center station while protesters chanted, "No justice, no peace, disband the BART." No justice, no peace, disband the BART. The BART police. I want to say BART. BART police. So about 75 protesters showed up. So Anonymous really turned out the numbers for this protest. But there was a lot of people there that were also saying, I support the police, and a bunch of different, some goober. And I'll be honest with you, this guy has got a sign that looks like it's written in crayon that says, "I support law enforcement." He's got these big, thick glasses on, wearing classic nerd. But anyway, we'll just look at this San Francisco Weekly. Scroll down and you'll see the guy in the picture. Please, I will never hold a sign like that, trust like this guy is. No. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. Hey, let's take care of one last piece of business before we get into the last segment of articles. You guys know I've been really excited about the new introduction of HD Faces by the folks at GoToMeeting by Citrix. You know, the way I meet with colleagues has been enhanced by the added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces, and you now as well can collaborate with anyone around the world. And this is an amazing new development for this application. It's simple, and it works absolutely awesome. Make sure that's turned down. So, you know, I've used this a number of times already. Actually, was on a chat with someone over the weekend. We had HD Faces up. And basically, GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal. It's engaging and effective. It's easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. And I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's really going to change the way you work. It really would. Geek News Central listeners can try it free for 30 days. You visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST so we get credit for that. But start meeting with your team in high definition today. My good friends at GoToMeeting and GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Again, go over there, click the Try It Free button, and enter the information on the website, and enter the promo code PODCAST, and I think you're going to love this application. You really are. It's just, I've received a bunch of emails from people already that have tried it and said, wow, the quality on the video is off the chart. I mean, off the chart. It's really good. You have up to 6 people on cameras at one time. We're going to demo it here this coming weekend. So if you haven't tried it and you want to see it, we'll show it to you on Saturday. But go out and get your own trial, okay? There's been a lot of articles coming out recently about comparing people that buy certain types of phones. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of these classifications of people. You know, there's this site called Hunch.com. They came out with what type of a person is an Android user, and what type of person is an iOS user, what type of person is a BlackBerry user. You know what? So what? Why can't people have choices anymore without this categorization and classification? And you know, it's really kind of, it's so insignificant, we're just going to move on. But doesn't it just disgust you? I don't care what type of phone you have. If you enjoy it, so that's the case, right? Someone's actually doing studies on what type of person uses a phone. Give me a break. It's like, do you use a Mac or do you use a PC? We haven't had these Mac wars for a while. It's a computer. Oh, my goodness. All right. Songwriters. Anyone of you write a song back in the 70s? Well, in 1978, we're going way back, Congress put the copyright law into effect. Most of it is standard fare, but it included a caveat which wouldn't be relevant for 35 years. Now, when we think about that, 1978 plus 35 years, 2013's coming, right? So what's going on here is that if you did a deal with a record company, and they have owned the rights to your music since 1978, you can now put in a petition to regain control or claim to regain control copyright of your work. So who's going to be eligible from day one when this comes into effect? Artists like Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, and a bunch of other artists who have classic songs whose rights are currently owned by record labels, and if they've already put in their petition, they're going to be entitled to all future royalties from those songs without those record companies getting that money. Bob Dylan, Tom Waits, Loretta Lynn have already filed their claims. This is awesome for those artists that they're going to be able to basically, some of those back catalogs are worth a lot of money. So I'm sure that the recording companies are going to be trying to get something changed so these people don't get reaccess to their music anymore. But if they want to recoup their work, there's ability to do so. Hey, I want to talk to you for just, well, I don't want to share on this show because we're going to run out of time, But remind me to tell you something I learned about healthcare over the past couple of days on the next show. All right. Hey, you ever seen one of those police officers on a horse? To me, they've always been kind of like decorative. You know, they're good for crowd control, but I've never, you know, I'm sure horses chase down thieves from time to time in different instances, but horse police are installing computers under their horses so they can pretend to be real police. They're not pretending, they're real police, but they're the city of Louisville has come up with mobile data terminals similar to those used in cars that are going to be installed onto the horse's saddle. So as you're giving the police officer your driver's license for because you've jaywalked or done whatever you've done, it's to raise the ire of the police officer. You can put your data in and see if you're a wanted felon. So be careful of the horse police, all right? Got a good read for you. AT&T has basically there was some a leak of confidential 4G, LTE, and T-Mobile plans. So this is some stuff that AT&T filed that wasn't completely, redacted. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But the most weird story of the night, and I mean this is a weird one. I gotta show this to you, okay? Because there's this guy that counted to 100,000. It took him 74 hours. I'm just going to play the first 30 seconds. And I want you to email me at geeknews@gmail.com and describe in 10 words or less what you think of this. Can you imagine? One, two. Now, let me just show you this. Let me bring this up. This is an article over on Gizmodo. And let me play this for you. You just have to watch the first little bit. Let me turn the audio up.
Gee whiz, I sure do love counting. I wonder how high I can go. Let's find out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Yeah, and it goes on like that for 100,000. I don't normally like blast people that do stuff. No life. That's all I can say. 77 hours of counting to 100,000. He took a he counted. I'm sure no one watched this. But he had to upload like two files because his file got too big. And, but 6.5 days of counting? Please don't tell me this guy's drawn unemployment or some sort of assistance check. If he is, please take his money away. Or better yet, get him a psychiatrist. In my opinion, guy's crazy. All right. I got to play this piece by Brian or we're going to go crazy long. But I got a bunch of other stuff I'm just going to quickly run through here. Got a good STS-135 launch tribute video. Got a good article here about facial recognition used to ID suspect in the UK riots. About 1,400 people have been arrested so far based on facial ID technology. So if you're going to go riot someplace, make sure you wear a mask. Also, a Canadian politician, a real not effective one, but this gentleman by the name of Travis McRae is 21 years old. He has launched a peer-to-peer site. He's part of the Pirate Party in Canada. And so he's holds dual citizenship, U.S. and Canadian. So I'm going to suggest to Travis that he doesn't come to the United States anytime soon from starting a peer-to-peer site and being so public about it. Those of you down in New Zealand, ISP CEO has slammed the copyright law and outdated business model. Telstra Clear, one of the largest ISPs in New Zealand, has basically said, hey, what you guys are doing with this three-strike law is pure insanity. if you guys are camera nuts, you're going to love these shot glasses that are, looks like lenses. And for a night, you get a set of three for $18. Really cool stuff. And it's kind of, these are kind of cool stuff that I like. When I saw this particular cool object, I thought, I'm going to pick this up. This is a moon rug. It's got a picture of the moon on it. And, but I said, how much is that? When I looked at the price, $1,960, I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. But one thing I did pick up is my own little launch control here. So you guys probably can't see this real good. Camera's not zoomed in. But if I turn on the switch, it's plugged in my USB port. Turn on the power, go into control, lift the lid up, and press the button. It's supposed to be a rocket launching. So I was hoping it was going to make better noises than that, but a little disappointed with this, but a fun gadget to have on the counter. I think I found that over at ThinkGeek. And another gadget over at Ogizmo is they've got a new Sonic Care Diamond Clean toothbrush. You actually put it in a glass, and it does inductive charging. You don't have to put it in a charger anymore. So I don't know what's more gross, one of those charging units or putting your toothbrush in a glass for charging. I think that's it for content. Let me go ahead and play Brian's voicemail. You guys are going to love this. And this is going to take us right out to about 1 hour, 17 minutes. And then we'll have some emails real quick, and then we'll get everybody out of here, I hope, by about an hour 20. So I think you're going to enjoy this whole piece. And we'll hear Brian talking to the Time Warner rep. So here we go.
Good morning. Welcome to Time Warner Cable. This call may be monitored or recorded. Please stay on the line, and a customer representative will be happy to assist you.
Okay. This is the part I like.
Now, in a few words, please tell me what you're calling about.
You looking for me, right?
You what? May continue to hold, or to leave a message, press 1.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Digital phone and international one price.
Thank you for calling Time Warner Cable. My name is... May I please have the name and address associated with the account?
Yeah, hi. It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. Hi.
And could you please verify your address?
Brooklyn, New York, 1121.
Okay, and how can I help you today?
Well, I don't know if you see on your records there that last week I had an appointment for someone to come fix these cables, the wires that are laying on the ground out here.
Yes, I do. Yeah. It was on June 10th, yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering what we can do about that. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you something. You know when I call this number and it got that little message that says this phone call might be recorded? My wife doesn't believe, she's been nagging me to take care of this, and she doesn't believe that I've made the appointment, and she doesn't believe that I called. So I'm making this recording. I'm recording this just so my wife really knows I called, because she's bugging me about this. These wires are laying in her flower garden, and she wants them out of there. Now, I made the appointment last week, and your guy didn't show up. Now, I had to take the day off of work. That's $300 I lost there. And then, you know, my services I get from you guys is over $250 a month. So as far as I see it, that's $550 that you're going to get from me this month. And I can't get somebody to get these wires off the ground. So,
well, I do apologize. I'll be more than happy to book that appointment for you. If the lines are down, soon I could have someone out for you.
Well, this is a problem. See, I don't think I can take another day off of work. And especially if the guy doesn't show up again. I mean, if I take another day off of work, that's another $300. That's $850. I mean, and how do I know the guy doesn't show up next time? Or maybe even is there like a three strikes, you're out kind of rule? Because I can tell you, if I have a dentist appointment or a doctor appointment and I don't show up, my doctor charges me $45. My dentist charges me $30 if I don't call him the day before and let him know I can't make the appointment, if I have to break the appointment. But you guys called me 3 times and left a message that says, we're calling to remind you you got an appointment, make sure someone's home, an adult. Well, I made sure I was home, but then, you know, you didn't show up. And that day, I called that day of the appointment, and I said, can you give me a little better than a 5-hour time window? Because I would like to run to the bank and get some lunch. And she said, no, sir, I can't. No, so I sat here with no lunch. I couldn't make it to the bank and waited till 5 o'clock, and the guy didn't show up. I can't afford to take off another day. Understand, this is in Brooklyn now. So they have to have access through somebody's house to get in the backyard. I think I want to cut those cables down myself.
Cut them, Brian. Right? Cut them.
Are they your cables or are they my cables? Who owns them?
Well, it's Time Warner Cables.
Now, let me ask you, if these are your cables and someone got injured and a child got strangled or something in those cables, who's responsible? Is it your cables? It's my property. Who's responsible for that?
Well, again, it's Time Warner Cable.
So you are responsible.
If it's hanging on the ground, it's hanging low. We need to schedule an appointment for us to come in.
And the raccoon that goes across the wire back there and it shakes all the cables, and I believe that's what knocked them off. I know it's downtown Brooklyn. But there's raccoons, believe it or not. You guys aren't going to reimburse me. The raccoon ain't going to pay for the cable. He ain't going to reimburse me. I don't know if I have any recourse at all. I mean, if I make another appointment and you miss that one, maybe you miss the third one. At that point, do you pay for it? Do you pay me back? Do you compensate me? I mean, is it 3 strikes, you're out?
No, I'm going to see regarding
give me a free
that.
Movie or something? I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, $250, it's a pretty expensive cable bill every month, right? But, you know, I'm trying to help you guys out here because I'm letting you know that my service isn't being affected by this right now. But and one of the cables, you know, if my tenant does want cable in the future, then that cable needs to be there. And if the other one is my neighbor's, it's probably connected, you know, to the neighbor. Even though it's in my yard, it's her cable. It's going to her house. So really, this doesn't affect me much at the time. I mean, my wife wants them out of the flower garden there, and I could just cut the cables for that matter. I was trying to help you guys out by being here to give you access. It really doesn't affect me. I'm going out of my way to do you guys a favor as far as I'm concerned. Blowing that appointment after they call me 3 times to remind me that I have the appointment.
Oh, Brian, baby, I feel for you. We've all been there. We've all been waiting in our house all day long, and the cable guy doesn't show up. You have to take off work. You got to probably take PTO. Your boss is pissed because you got to be out. And then you have to come in the next day and say, I need some more time off. You know, that doesn't fly. And of course, they'll come on the weekends, right? Man, in Brooklyn, raccoons. Really? Email me offline and I'll tell you how to handle that raccoon issue, but you can't share the recipe I'm going to give you with anybody else. All right, folks, let me go ahead and get into the email here real quick. We'll get out of here. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. Anytime, baby. Let us know how you make out on those cables, okay? Got an email here from Bobby. He said, I would bet that someone is using a Gmail address with a period in it. I run into this all the time. He says, I have his email address. Someone's creating a Gmail account that has got an extra period in it. They can log in their account and send email. But when they receive mail, it goes to my address. I have no idea how to contact them. Bob, mine is, they're just using my last name. So there can't be a period in it. But anyway, that's what's happened there. Got an email from Jeff. He said, hey, Todd, received the Google TV today. I'm heading out of town for a week. Looking forward to testing out when I return. Thanks again. I like your 20 minutes of rambling at the beginning of the show, by the way. Thanks, Jeff. And Jeff was one of our winners of a giveaway, so congratulations to Jeff. Got an email here from Dan. He says, you know, you can get the Facebook purity plugins for Firefox and Chrome to hide all that crap on Facebook and a lot more, don't you? It's the only thing that makes Facebook even remotely bearable to me. I don't run a lot of plugins like that. It just loads the stuff up and usually makes the experience even worse. I don't know. Got an email here from Mark. He says, hey, Todd, love your show. I receive your show through Google Reader, then download to my MP3 player and listen from there while I'm at work. I'm looking for a Google Plus invite, please. We'll get you one, Mark. Also, on the subject of your show about free-range chickens being better than antibiotic filled chickens we all buy at the grocery store. Turns out the eggs used for free range chickens come to the free range farmer already filled with antibiotics. Tests have shown there is little difference between a free range chicken and the other chickens at the grocery store. Marketplace did some tests with alarming results. Please, if you have the time, check out this link and maybe share it with your listeners. Thanks again for all the work you do for us. And please don't forget to send me an invite. Thanks, Mark. Hey, Mark, here's the key in the free range chicken. You got to buy from a farmer that uses his own eggs. That's the key. All right. My mom gets her free range chicken from some Amish down in northern Indiana. And they've got a guarantee they are free range. So I think a lot of it has to do with where you get your chickens from. And not all of you have access to an Amish that have free range chicken. Indiana area that wants free range chicken, email me. I'll get you the contact. Got an email here from Tim. He says, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Compton Station asked for an apology from the rapper used his newfound fame to further criticize the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department is going to fully investigate and ask district to file charges. This was about the rapper basically saying, hey, let's have I need a assistant. Here's my telephone number. It turned out it was a Compton Police Department phone number. They got thousands of calls, and essentially the rapper claimed that someone else had hacked his tech Twitter account. Boy, here we go, another hacked Twitter account. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. So thanks for that, Tim. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He said, hey, virus can cause high blood pressure. Chinese study. So I have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Trucker Tom. And also, I got an email from Tim again. He says, China steals helicopter stealth technology thanks to Pakistan. He says, hooray for being endlessly stabbed in the back. And I agree, Tim. But, you know, the Chinese can't make anything on their own. They just have to steal it. Okay, that's it for today. We're really long. Thanks for hanging out and being patient. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Follow me at Twitter. And we want to thank you for your support of our sponsors, GoDaddy, Carbonite, and also the folks over at GoToMeeting. So give them a try. We want you to use those products and services. They keep the lights on here and keep this show rolling. Everyone, thanks. We'll have a great day. See you on the next show. Take care and aloha.